Hi, I'm Bonnie Bartlett, and I am the next guest on On Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak, and this is episode 617 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with the guests from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, we have a two-time Emmy winner, Bonnie Bartlett, is going to be joining us, and she was on Little House on the Prairie, Better Call Saul, Saint Elsewhere, whole lot of other shows that, you know, we don't have time to mention them all. But she also has a book out. It's called Middle of the Rainbow. Bonnie Bartlett is coming up in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. And this week, I am still trying to recover from my cold, and I'm sure you can still hear it in my throat. And hopefully, we're going to get through this quickly so I can get into the interview and I don't have to talk as much. And I won't be coughing or anything like that. So why don't we get right into it? It's time for Remake Madness right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remakes. It looks like DC's James Gunn seems excited about the new Swamp Thing remake. James Mangold, director of the upcoming Indiana Jones film, is in talks to direct it. So that could be a kind of exciting film. And March 1st, 2024 is the projected date for the release of the big screen remake of 1980s TV show The Fall Guy. Now, Ryan Gosling is going to be starring in it alongside Emily Blunt. That's it for Remake Madness. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, April 21st, Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, will be entering theaters, and Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. Now, they starred together once before in Forrest Gump. Now, they will be reuniting in a film called Here for Robert Zemeckis, and they will both be de-aged throughout the film through AI at different times, because it's like following their life as they, you know, start younger and grow older. So they're going to be de-aged. So that's going to be kind of cool. Sort of like they're doing with Indiana Jones too. So you'll get a preview of what that's going to look like. And that's it. Stephen King. Yeah. In the 2021 novel that he wrote, Billy Summers, is being made into a movie, and it looks like they're trying to get Leonardo DiCaprio to star in it and J.J. Abrams to direct it. That's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, sequels. Sequels. It looks like the DC universe of films has just gotten very, very, very confusing. James Gunn says that the DC universe will align into one universe, okay? That's simple, except for a few exceptions. Robert Pattinson will continue to be the Batman in the Elseworlds, okay? So they're going to have a new Batman that will be needed for the regular world films, and the new Batman film will be called The Brave and the Bold, where Batman deals with his Damon Wayne, the son he didn't know he had. So, it's going to get kind of weird, but we'll see what happens. No weirder than the multiverse, where you've got 10 different things going on. There's all these Supermans and everything else, or Batmans, or whatever. So, that's it for sequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, movies and TV on DVD.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
movies and TV on DVD. Rick and Morty Season 6 comes to Steelbook Blu-ray, regular Blu-ray, and DVD on March 28th. And on April 4th, you can get it in Canada. And I Want to Dance with Somebody rolls on to digital on February 7th, and Blu-ray and DVD on February 28th. And A Man Called Otto, starring Tom Hanks, goes to Blu-ray and DVD on March 14th. The Whale with Brandon Fraser arrives on DVD and Blu-ray on March 14th also. And March 21st, Babylon lands on Blu-ray and 4K. And Dan Brown's The Last Symbol complete series makes its way to Blu-ray on March 14th. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD. Next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time. TV and entertainment time, that 90s show on Netflix has been renewed for a second season. Now, season one has 10 episodes in it. Season two is going to be having 16, so they've improved it a lot by giving us more, so you can get ready for that. And Yellowstone prequel 1923 has been renewed for season two, and sadly, this past week, Cindy Williams has passed away, Shirley from Laverne and Shirley. And that's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we're going to sit down. We're going to talk with Bonnie Bartlett. Now, Bonnie was in so many different shows, like I said earlier, The Little House on the Prairie and Better Call Saul most recently, St. Elsewhere, where she won two Emmys, and it's just so many things. She's got a book out called Middle of the Rainbow, and we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Bonnie Bartlett, right here on Screen and Beyond. Today on Screen and Beyond, our guest is a two-time Emmy winner who we have seen in so many TV shows over the years, including The Doctors, Little House on the Prairie, Barney Miller, Home Improvement, Boy Meets World, Grey's Anatomy, Better Call Saul, and most notably, St. Elsewhere. She has a new book out called Middle of the Rainbow. It's Bonnie Bartlett. Bonnie, welcome to Screen and Beyond.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. The book is, I think we used my last name, Bonnie Bartlett Daniels. We did use that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which way you wanted to go with that, so I took your lead.
Anyway, it is Bonnie Bartlett Daniels on the book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As an actress, I just used Bonnie Bartlett.
Yeah. And now, Bonnie, this book is not a fluff memoir. This is very intense and open of you.
Very. Well, it is. It is a history of a woman's life of almost 100 years. I mean, I'm 93. I'll be 94 next birthday. And I just wanted to put down a history of how things have changed, how men have been forced to change, and how they hopefully are changing in regard to the way they treat women.
Exactly.
And
yes.
this is more than the girls or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than that, because it's from the time I was very little, and from the time I could remember at age three about.
Mm-hmm.
Till 93. So maybe I'll live to be 100 and I can write another book.
Yeah, I hope so. I opened and just saw the introduction and it was like, wow, this is, this isn't your usual rainbows and flowers and all that stuff. This is
right,
serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But it also shows you how you can overcome all these things and how you can. I was fortunate enough to have a lot of therapy. I was fortunate enough to have a marriage that was working and worked. And I was fortunate to have two wonderful boys. And I've been lucky. But it's also, you have to work at it and you have to get through it. And a lot of women who are abused like this are completely flattened out, or they turn bad, or they turn sick, or stuff like that, you know. But it just should never have happened, and now we don't let it happen. I'm sure, I mean, as much as possible, we don't let it happen.
Right.
And we try to train in the culture, train the culture to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which is so important. Not only in our business, you know, it's everywhere.
Oh,
it's anybody with a little power. I mean, I have doctors. Anybody who, you know, has some power. And I'm sure that includes some women. I'm sure that some women do that too. Mm-hmm. There are women in power.
Yeah.
Who mishandle things, you know.
Right.
I'm sure there are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, how did you come up with the title? Because, you know, I'm always interested in, you know, where did you come up with this? Why is it Middle of the Rainbow?
Well, yeah, I had a friend who suggested it to me, and he suggested it because he said it's kind of, in the book, in the beginning of the book, there are, I don't have it with me right now, but I quote somebody, and it's like the middle, think of yourself as a rainbow with a pot of gold on both ends, you know? In other words, it's not a sad book. It really isn't. It's a book of accomplishment. It's a book of celebration. And women, I am so thrilled with the young women today, how smart they are and how they go forward. And it's not boys first, girls second. It's, you know, it's an ever, you do have to, well, we're fighting desperately, of course, the abortion thing. We're still fighting that. But we're going to get rid of all those old guys, eventually, and their wives, who do what they say. We'll eventually, you know, and as the younger groups come in, it'll push them out more.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's good. I mean, the younger groups aren't as experienced, and they're not. It'll be different. It'll be different.
Yes.
In another 10 years, I think it'll be different. And we have a lot of work to do, and the government is trying, and we're trying hard to do it. But I think it's gonna be very different, and we have to protect our democracy and all that sort of thing. You know, we have to.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to mention though that you have been married 70 plus years. Now that is so rare in Hollywood, or a lot of places anywhere, really. But I mean, especially in Hollywood.
Yes. Well, part of it is luck. Part of it is that I met Bill when I was 18, and like, he's the only person before or after that I ever really wanted to be with all the time. And when we're together, we're just fine. We're just wonderful. It's hard when we're apart, but when we are together, it's, and we don't have to be apart anymore. So that's kind of nice.
Yes.
That's one good thing about old age. In other words, you know, we're together all the time now, and that's great. That's just great.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's kind of respecting the other person's life. And there are some, of course, you have to give in sometimes and do what is best for one or best for the other, as I did. I mean, when we had the boys, for instance, I really didn't want to work. I did commercials, things like that, but I didn't want to, I tried. I went away to do a play, Lanford Wilson's first play with, Charlie and Chris, and it was painful to be away from them. So I learned my lesson early, and then I said, nope, no more theater, no more going away. And I would do little things that were around New York, but nothing much, because you really, you have to be with them.
Yeah.
You can't just not be with them. I think Katharine Hepburn said that. She said she always referred to herself as a star. She said, if you want to be a star, you can't be a mother. And that is because a mother can't put herself first, and a really strong career woman has to put herself first. So the kid loses out,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
kids lose out.
Yeah.
And so I was able to do that and then very fortunately come back into the business when I was about 45. And then I've worked and worked and worked and worked and been with the boys because we were in Hollywood. Hollywood was very good to us because we could have our weekends. All of a sudden we had weekends. That was wonderful. That was a huge thing for us.
Mm-hmm. Is that because you were on TV shows rather than movies? Would movies
yes,
take you away
exactly,
more?
Because you don't work weekends.
Ah, okay.
The theater you work. Bill, when he was doing 1776, always worked on Christmas. Two shows on Christmas. Christmas Eve. You name it. He never had a holiday where he wasn't working.
Oh, that's too bad.
So we had to, you know, it was hard to figure that out and have. So he would literally come home on Christmas. He would come home after a show and stay up all night putting together toys for the kids and stuff like that. And then they'd get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he never did go to bed. And then he'd go in the afternoon and do a matinee.
Wow.
It's a grueling, grueling life.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Yeah.
But you've was the two of you met in college, correct?
Right.
And you were both wanting to be actors at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that what you wanted to do even before you met? I mean, you know, years.
From the time I was a very little girl, my father had been an actor, and of course, and we listened to the radio. All these wonderful actors,
mm-hmm.
Luntz. I mean, great actors. And I fell in love with it, and that's what I wanted to do. Now, I'd go to, when I was little, I'd go to the movies and see Gene Harlow and people like that. And I thought, oh boy, that's nifty. I want to be like that. Of course, that's when I was very little.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imitate all of them. I would imitate all of the actors. And I performed wherever I could. I was doing the Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address in the park and things like that. I did anything I could find in this little town, Moline, Illinois.
Hmm.
And at school, as soon as I could, plays. And I was always rehearsing for something.
Huh. Yeah. And it just seems like you mentioned that you were acting and then you stopped for a little bit to, you know, to be with the kids and to do things, smaller roles. And then you went back into it. A lot of times that doesn't work, right? Because they sort of forget you.
I was very lucky. I don't know, you know, when, they did, yeah, totally. Bill, when we came out to Hollywood, built Studio Cities where we live, and Bill sent me over to his agent and said, she doesn't have any film, but she's a terrific dramatic actress. So they started to send me out, and I didn't expect it, but I got all kinds of parts. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a lot of things for me to do. The Waltons and Gunsmoke and Barney Miller. That was so much fun, Barney Miller. I had never done a comedy like that, and it was so much fun. And it was such a good show. And I just kept working. And then I got on Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
And that was for like 3 or 4 years, and that was a wonderful part. Grace, and I worked with Victor French, and that was a wonderful show. And then I got St. Elsewhere came along, they were looking for somebody to play a little part of Bill's wife, and somebody said, well, why don't we just get Bonnie? I mean, you know, and at first they said, oh, no, she's too old for him. But then they decided, and I came in, and then they loved us together,
mm-hmm.
and they started writing stuff for us, and then I ended up winning 2 Emmys. So that was wonderful. And it was a wonderful show.
Yeah. You mentioned St. Elsewhere. I look at the cast on that, and it's like, this is unbelievable. I don't think you could do it now.
One gem after another.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ed Begley Jr., Howie Mandel, Denzel Washington, Ronnie Cox, William, your husband, and you. I mean, and it just goes on and on. I don't think there's ever been a cast full of so many talented people in one show.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And, you know, because Bruce Paltrow was the producer as Gwyneth's father.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a wonderful producer, tough guy, but a wonderful producer. And he had tremendous taste, and he got these people to work for him. They all wanted to work on the show. Everybody wanted to work on the show. Mm. All the actors in New York wanted, because it was a good show. It was
right.
well written. It was it was a medical show with humor.
Mm-hmm.
It had humor. It was the best medical show there ever was.
Yeah. Now, with that, a cast like that, it does a lot of, I don't know how to word this. There's a lot of times egos come in to play with so many people like that. In, you know, it's like throwing cats, yeah. you know, into
well,
a bag.
When that happened, I told you, Bruce was tough. When that happened, he would just quietly remove them from the show.
Oh, really?
There were two or three, yes. I remember a couple of big ego things, and that the two guys, I remember them, and they you know, wanted more or wanted this or that or that, and he just wrote them out.
Hmm.
He had them written out.
Yeah.
He just let them go.
Yeah.
He didn't mess around. That's why Bill and he got along so well, because Bill never demanded more than he should. I mean, Bill never said, I'm the star of the show. He's never said that.
Yeah.
The only time he ever said that was in New York when he turned down a Tony, and because they put him in the wrong category. They put him in the supporting category. He said, nope. So he didn't do it. He said, I don't want a supporting actor award. And so he didn't even go to the show. But that's the only time. Bill has never let his ego get in the way of the job,
mm-hmm.
or working with the people. He wouldn't be working with the people if he didn't know they were very good.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Little House, and you talked about Victor French. And what was it like working with Michael Landon, too? You know, I mean,
Michael and I got along very well. I know that Karen Grassley had problems with him, and I think it was about money, probably. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but he and I got along. I was so happy to be working and to be doing something that was so much fun, that I had a part that was so much fun, working with Melissa, who was a little girl at the time. She was delightful to work with. Kath McGregor was an old friend. She was delightful to work with. Michael gave me a lot of time, and I couldn't be a regular. I wasn't in the regular thing in the beginning. But I was like a wonderful guest on the show for 4 years. And then Michael, except for the fact that he was cheap, he didn't pay actors well enough.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can say bad about him. But that's the way he worked. He mm-hmm. was a producer. He called the shots. You want to work, you got to work for his money. And if you don't want to work for his money, you leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I left. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, I left.
Yeah. Now, with all the people that you've worked
with. But he was terrific to work with.
Yeah.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, this is Mark Cuban, and if you love television like I love television, you have to listen to On Screen and Beyond.
With all the people that you've worked with over, you know, over time here, who was the most impressionable to you? Who were you so thrilled to work with? Was there anybody in particular?
Well, it usually turned out to be somebody that I didn't know. For instance, I loved Bob Odenkirk.
Oh yes, Better Call Saul.
I didn't expect to like that at all. I went in kind of, I don't know why, and I ended up loving the way he works, and I enjoyed that show very much. One of the other people that I worked with was a long time ago was Bob Dishey on a Barney Miller, mm-hmm. and he turned out to be one of the funniest people I ever knew, and it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
And then I working with Jack Levin on his last show, he was very, very sweet. He was ill at the time, not doing well, and that was his last show, Tuesdays with Maury. And Jack was just amazing. He was wonderful.
And he's a legend.
And sweet. Yeah.
Such a legend.
Yeah, he was a delight to work with. A very, always knew exactly what he was doing and did it once and well.
Yeah.
And that was it. And who else? I don't know. Those are the people that I think of naturally, Bill. Oh, Ed Flanders on St. Elsewhere.
St. Elsewhere, yes.
Yeah, a very troubled guy, but a wonderful actor and a very, talk about lack of ego. I mean, when Bill and Eddie and I would have scenes together, it was just magic because neither Bill nor Ed wanted the close-ups or wanted, you know, none of that crap. And so we just all worked on the scenes. And, oh, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful when you're working with an actor like that.
Mm-hmm.
Really wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about you worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito
in
Twins as their mother.
Yeah.
How was it working on that film?
Well, that was another show. I didn't think I was wrong, and I didn't think it would be a terrific movie. I didn't know who Arnold Schwarzenegger was. I knew Danny, and I knew he was very funny and very good. But I didn't love the script at all, and I kind of wanted to get out of it. And then my agent said, "You're crazy. You've got to do it." And Ivan Reitman turned out to be a wonderful director for me, and he made it a situation where I had a lot of influence. I had a lot to say. He rewrote some of my part for me. He turned out to be absolutely marvelous, and they were both wonderful. Arnold was a total gentleman, and Danny was Danny, and the two of them got along very well. They helped each other. Arnold worked Danny out, and Danny helped Arnold in his comedy. Arnold is not the greatest actor, which I told him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he said, "Should I go to New York and study?" I said, "Oh no, you can't go on a stage. You're not a stage actor at all. Do keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fine."
Yeah, good advice.
And then, of course, he went into politics.
Right.
Smart man, a very smart man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Schwarzenegger, yeah. Very smart.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Going into politics, I don't know how smart that is, though.
Well, I don't know how smart that is. But, I mean, he wanted to do more.
No, I understand.
Than what he was doing.
Yeah.
He wanted to do more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very brave of people to go into politics. Honestly.
Oh, yes. Of all the roles you've done, is there any that you would say was your favorite?
Well, you know, I like them all. I've liked most of them very much. I find it so much fun. I'm very different than Bill. Bill is always there. It's always Bill Daniels. And my whole thing is to get lost in the part so you don't know that it's Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
That's, we just work differently that way. And so it, even at Northwestern, I played Barbara Allen in Dark of the Moon. I love playing that girl, that kind of hillbilly girl, and wonderful, passionate, sexy, free, terrific character. I loved playing that. That was so freeing. I played Lady Macbeth twice. That's a challenge. That's been a very, never got it right. Nobody gets it right, but it, I love trying. I, what else? What could there be? Well, I love doing Little House. I love her character. I love Grace. I love doing an after school special where I played an alcoholic mother, and it was for, as I say, an after school special. And I love that because I thought, if this will help the kids around there, who, I mean, I had alcoholism around me all my life. Mm-hmm. And if I can get through to some kids to help them, that, and I was very proud of that performance, even though I don't drink at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, but a boy, have I lived with alcoholics. So I know what that's like. Yeah. And I love it. If I can, I love it. If I can teach a little. Bill and I are so different that way. He has no desire to teach people or to that. They, everybody wanted him to be a director, and he the few things I saw him direct were wonderful. But he didn't want to do that. He doesn't want to take the responsibility. And I, of course, love to teach. I love to help people.
Mm.
I love to think, oh God, I made a difference.
Yeah.
I like that. And that's why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So was it? Was it tough to write the book, Middle of the Rainbow?
Yeah. Yes, it was hard. A lot of sleepless nights. It was hard for me because it was a lot of sleepless nights. But when I did get craft something that I thought was okay, I was very pleased.
Mm-hmm.
And it was worth it. Worth a few sleepless nights.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Bonnie, I know we probably have to be finishing up here, but I'd like to finish up with one final question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before I do that, I want to remind people that Middle of the Rainbow is a book that you definitely want to check out and go and get it. It's available right now. So, but Bonnie, our last question is taking us away from your book, which everybody should get. But when you sit back and relax, what are you enjoying on TV and in movies? What's your favorite TV shows now and of the past, and what's your favorite movies now and of the past?
I am such a good audience. I there's no favorite. I love them. I just saw, what was the movie, the Irish movie with the Banshees?
Yes, I know which one you mean. I can never pronounce the first part of it, but yes.
I can't either. I thought it was absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely marvelous. And all the actors, oh gosh, it was great. I highly recommend that movie very, very, very much. And I like all kinds of things on a different level. We watch a lot of BritBox, which is a lot of English
mm-hmm.
actors, and they're fun, you know, they're fun, little detective things and stuff like that. They're very much fun.
Yep.
And well acted, well done. And then you get to see all the countryside in England and all of that in Ireland. And I love that. I love seeing other countries on television.
Yeah.
And then I love seeing things that are, there's a detective thing that is, takes place right here in LA that I love. I love seeing all the different places in LA used. It's hard for me to have favorites. I have so many loves.
Yeah.
I have so many loves, so many positives.
Yeah, that's
that
good.
It's, I'm a great audience. Mm-hmm. Great audience.
Yeah. Well, Bonnie, I am so honored and thankful that you would take the time to talk to us here, let us in on your book, Middle of the Rainbow. And once again, people should go out and get that. It's available right now. And I thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. It's been very good. Good talk.
And a big thank you going out to Bonnie Bartlett for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. Like I said in the interview there, you know, wasn't sure if I was going to call it Bonnie Bartlett or Bonnie Bartlett Daniels. She goes by both names. As far as an actress, she's considered herself Bonnie Bartlett, but she's married to William Daniels. She kept mentioning him throughout the interview as Bill. And, you know, I wish we could have got him on the show, but evidently he doesn't do interviews anymore, unfortunately. But you can catch him. He is going to be at some of these signing conventions. So the two of them will be there, and you can go and, you know, say hi to him and get their autographs, whatever you want. So, you know, if you look those out, they may be in your area at some point. And let's see, that is about it. That is it for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. Like I say, I don't want to talk too much because I'm going to start coughing again. I know I am. And I shouldn't laugh because that gets me to start coughing. But I do want to thank the people who sent me some emails saying, you know, hope I get better and all that. And we appreciate that very much. And we will have some more interviews coming your way. I've been a little slack on getting people lined up because, you know, it's just one of these things where you just dragged right out and you can't do anything. Luckily, I don't have COVID or anything like that, but it's just a cold that the doctor said, oh, it could last 2 to 3 weeks. Well, that's great. I really, really like that. That wasn't, you know, the greatest news. But anyway, hope you're all feeling good, better than I am anyways. And if you want to help On Screen and Beyond, I would really appreciate it if you would turn around, tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond, or download as many episodes. You know, if you've downloaded once, download them again. But the more people who are listening to On Screen and Beyond, then the more people we can get on the show. So if you want to keep listening to On Screen and Beyond, please help us out with that. And we just got to keep things going and we'll get more people on here. And I hope you, you know, like I say, tell a friend about it and, you know, leave a review if you can. That would help. I know I hate doing that, too. So, you know, I don't blame you if you don't. But anyways, that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.